Tale of a Cuban Cigar, or How an Idealist Can Say Life is Good. Expecting another somber essay about the state of the world? Well, no. Years ago, living in Paris for a while, I learned a lesson from two young Christian Dior models, ever so slender, on what most would consider a draconian diet. They were told to go off it for one meal a week. Yes, for that one meal they were to eat and drink to their heart's delight. Now, you have to realize that their stomachs were not very big, so the amount that they could send down were not that large. But did they enjoy it? I know, because I was never so skinny before or after, as the shrimp that I am, a head shorter than either of them, followed the same regiment. One time the three of us were slightly giddy after an incredible lunch. The girls had to do an afternoon show after that. One of the girls had dark hair, the other was blonde. So one modeled a green suit, while the second, if I remember correctly, a pink version. Each suit had a little hat, and they, as a prank, got onto the runway with their hats inverted. Scandal! The mother hen who kept them in line was furious, but the girls laughed. The girls loved life. Obviously, so do I. Well, in the old days, as an interpreter in Geneva, I used to smoke cigars. Really good ones, like Oyo di Monterrey, Monte Cristo, La Gloria di Cuba, and others. Would get whole boxes, yes. At one point, even had a small cigar for breakfast. But the idealist in me checked that. Went back to graduate school and into development, then missions. The boxes dwindled, and the cigar became a weekly affair, though in the 1990s it revived whenever I was home with Pierre. He had the biggest humidor, one larger than a suitcase, filled with magnificent stogies. But Pierre died, leaving me without him a home in Paris, and those fine sticks and the Armagnacs that went with them. I headed a wonderful non-profit for 8 years, but the cigars left their Cuban splendor. After all, they are not even allowed in the States, where I had relocated, and so had to settle for ones from Honduras and Nicaragua. I did get one or two boxes a year, somehow managed to even find rather good ones that became expensive with time. In the last couple of years, with retirement, and an unlucrative but rewarding third career as a writer, one cigar a month or so became the norm. However, the chance of 2 months in Montreal had my eyes picture Cuban splendors. After all, they are allowed in Canada. However, financial restraints kept this fantasy at bay for the first month I was there. Had spent at least 5-6 hours on the net, figuring out what store I should venture to go to. A snowstorm leaving piles of white and slush, plus reviews, helped me make the final decision. Though loving to walk, I took the subway downtown to a cigar store with quite a reputation. The storefront, in an area of Montreal which with skyscrapers looks like too many urban centers in the world, was not as imposing as one could imagine from the coverage through Google. However, once inside, the discretion and understated opulence proved to be its charm. The man on duty behind the counter was serving a young, obviously well-off couple. The young man wanted one more of something, but she was not in favor of it. There was a mention of how many Vuitton bags she had, and off he went to get the second, of whatever he had dreamed of. Unexpectedly, a second man showed up to serve me. He was tall and lean, towering above me. When I told him I wanted one very good cigar, he almost laughed. After all, who was standing in front of him? A rather tiny older woman with a nondescript woolen hat and a simple brown winter coat. He certainly couldn't guess the coat was not only bought, but made in Paris. And it was almost reaching down to the floor. Taking me to the back of the store, where the cigars were kept behind in cases of special glass, he pointed to one. $384, he said, rather joking. The label was there. Do not recollect the brand, but it was the price for just one. It's not what I imagined, a smaller one, I almost mumbled, as my eyes went over other cases, until something selling for $14 came into view. His hand opened the glass door. I waved on. No, that's too small. The one in the case beside it. I had settled for a slightly bigger Romeo and Julieta, one that cost me 20 Canadian dollars. Now, that is what I have been paying for rather good bottles of wine, ones that I've been having a glass at a time with homemade meals. That is what I had that day with a lunch of lamb, vegetables, and, obviously, the cigar. It was very good, and I had it accompanied with the contents of a very small miniature bottle of cognac, as they didn't have any such small bottles of Armagnac. Wondering what that tall man would say if he knew that the legendary Davidoff himself, the great cigar figure of the second half of the 20th century, when he was still in a small store near Steps in Geneva in 1968, had been the one who made me admit and become proud of smoking cigars instead of hiding behind so-called gifts to the men in my life.